Verses 32 and 33. So last week we covered most of this section and we dipped into these two verses a little bit, but I'd like to go back and look at these last two verses once again. So Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, before we hear God's word, if you would, friends, join your hearts together with me in prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, you are our strength and our shield. Lord, we do not put our trust in horses and princes, but we put our trust in the Lord, who has cut off all of our enemies from us and has secured a victory for us in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the preaching of the gospel. Father, we thank you for this means of grace that the world condemns as foolish. But we pray, Father, by your Spirit, you would use the foolishness of preaching to make us all the wiser. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 32, beloved, this is the word of God. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is the word of God. Well, Jesus gives this solemn teaching as part of another overall message to his disciples. That message was verse 26, have no fear of them. He says, have no fear of them. Well, have no fear of who? Those who would malign the disciples, those who would slander them or speak evil of them, even persecute them. He says, do not fear them, even those who would seek to kill their bodies. Well, Jesus says here, don't be afraid of them. He's saying this to his disciples. Rather, fear God. Fear God who will judge both the living and the dead. Now, one of the determining factors that will prove a person deserves to have his body and soul thrown into hell is found here. This will be one of the reasons why they're cast into the outer darkness, whether or not they acknowledged Christ before men. Now notice how the judgment of men at the end of the age is an activity that both God and Jesus participate in. Verse 28, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. That's what Jesus says. And the one who does this, the one who throws body and soul into hell, is the Father mentioned in the very next verse. But now, in verse 32 and 33, Jesus is talking about the final judgment. And what does he say? He says, whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. This denial from Jesus about a person is the sentence of eternal judgment, eternal denial against them, pronounced by Christ against the ungodly on the last day. Now this section then affirms the divine authority that Jesus has as the Son to judge. He has the right to pronounce this judgment because he is God the Son. It also confirms Jesus' teaching elsewhere about his relationship to the judgment of men at the end of the age. This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Jesus says this, the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And so Jesus will very much be involved and in fact lead the way in the judgment that comes upon men and angels at the end of the age. Now Jesus, remember, he's giving this instruction to a group of men who will face harsh persecution from others in the world. They would be sent out and be persecuted for their ministry, the gospel ministry. They will be hated for Christ's namesake. Their very lives may be on the line. When the moment that they are challenged in this way by the sinful hatred of men, when they will be tempted to deny him before men, if it means that they might save their own skin, if they could only deny Christ before men. When they are tempted at that time to do that, Christ tells them, here, you have an advocate. it will appear and seem like no one is on your side. In that moment, remember, I will confess you before my Father. I will help you. I am your helper. I will be your advocate. Jesus, verse 32, he says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven." In this way, then, Jesus promised his followers to serve as mediator between God and his people. He will serve as our mediator between us and God. And so this is the message that he gave to his disciples, and certainly this was the message that they would pass on to those that they would minister to the people they were preaching to. They would tell them the very same things, that they too would have an advocate in Jesus. Now, even before his death, Jesus interceded for his disciples. He prayed for them. Now, this ministry of intercession before God continues today. Jesus is still interceding for you. He's still praying for you. He is your advocate right now, tonight, and every day until he comes again and into eternity. Jesus, as our advocate and our mediator, he continually intercedes for us. He prays for us. As our high priest, he intercedes for us before the Father. He always appears before the Father on our behalf. And so we are never without help, even though it may seem and feel like we are. Now, that might be a result of persecution in the world, or that might be a result of something else. But this is true for every believer. You have an advocate before your Father in heaven. Now, driven by this truth and power of the Spirit, we, by faith, we are able to hold fast to our confession before men. This teaching helps us to do that, to stand firm in what we believe in before people in this world, even if they hate us. And so it's a promise that believers, every believer, will never be alone. The church will never be alone. No matter how you may feel, or if you may even be physically isolated from others at a time, for whatever reason, you will never be without a helper, an advocate in your corner before God. And so this word from Christ is a promise. But there's also a warning here. Jesus says, "Whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father in heaven." Now, friends, this is the temptation, especially in the face of possible death or possible rejection, certainly, but for possible death at the hands of wicked people. This would be a strong temptation, which is what the disciples would face. This is what these very men who were listening to him would face, possible death. But it's also the temptation for us at other times as well to deny Christ before men, to deny him, deny that we are associated with him. Now, we may not have to face possible martyrdom, but we will face possible rejection and then actual rejection. We may face, as Christians, rejection from our blood family. In fact, Jesus mentions this in the next section. Son will give father over to death, and vice versa. He said, "I came not to bring peace, but a sword." We might face rejection from friends, close friends that we have known, because of our Christian faith, will not want to have anything to do with us. Now, this might be especially true for young Christians who are here tonight. Young Christians who attend school with unbelievers or are around unbelievers. Your friends in high school, your friends in college may initially think that it's respectable to be a Christian. It's cool, even, perhaps, to be a Christian. That's nice that you found this for yourself. But what about the times when they still expect you to take part in their sinful activities? What about the times when they still expect you to believe in the things that they still believe in, and to agree with the ways of the world that they're still a part of? What about those times? Or what if they expect you to have the same attitudes and desires as they do? What about that? For example, when it comes to the way you talk, when they expect you to talk in the same way that they talk, to talk with perversity, to talk with inappropriate words, and they expect you to join in on this? Or what about the way that you approach dating? They have fundamentally different views on dating and marriage. Will you still be able to stand firm in your Christian faith when there is hostility from your family and friends and from the world? Will you still be able to say, no, I can't do that, or I don't believe in that. I belong to Christ. This is how we approach these things. Will you be able to do this even though it could mean that you will be permanently rejected? Will you deny Christ before men? That's the question. Now, we need to appreciate the fact that when Jesus speaks of denying him before men, he was not necessarily talking about denying him in a moment or one or two times as a Christian and then later feeling sorry about it. Jesus does not condemn his people to hell for mistakes. He doesn't do that. He gives warnings, but your salvation is secured in him. You have an advocate. He never stops being your advocate. And so who are the ones that Jesus will deny before his Father in heaven? Well, think of the Apostle Peter. Peter literally denied Christ before men. Three times. He did exactly what Jesus is saying that he shouldn't do here. People from the world came up to him, asked him if he was associated with Jesus, and three times he said no. He denied it. And in fact, he didn't deny it before even adult men. He had denied it, Christ, one time before a servant girl. And so Peter did this very thing. And yet, what happened later, Jesus forgave him. He restored him. Peter was repentant. Peter felt deep sorrow and grief over the fact that he had done this before the world. Now, Peter certainly should not have done this. He knew this, and he wept over his failure. But he never lost his advocate. He never lost it. And for sure, we know from his letters in the New Testament that he learned a lesson about Jesus as his advocate after having denied him three times. Now, Peter never lost his advocate. He never lost his mediator, Jesus. Peter repented of this. He was restored. He was strengthened by Christ. And he would, in fact, later on be martyred for his acknowledgement of Christ before men. And so you can see how Jesus is not talking about mistakes that Christians make at times, denying him before the world. In a moment of intense strain, possibly of dying, crucified even, Peter wrongly denied Christ three times. But if you look at Peter's life overall, Peter boldly acknowledged Christ before men. He stayed true to his confession. Yes, he failed, but he was restored and forgiven and strengthened to do God's work later on. When Christ comes again, Peter and all of us will be publicly acknowledged before God as belonging to his Father. We are his sons and daughters. That is a certainty if you have faith in Christ. The denial of Jesus that is spoken of here, and this is a warning to believers not to do this. But the denial that Jesus speaks of here ultimately is a lifelong, deep-seated rejection of Christ at the bottom of man's heart. This is a denial within the very depths of the human soul of a person. When Jesus denies these people on the last day, he will simply be publicly acknowledging what was true about them their entire lives. They denied Christ. They denied him before men. They denied his overtures of the gospel. They denied Christ in their hearts, with their words, and with their actions. And therefore, their judgment is just. Whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father in heaven. Now, these people may have been vocal about their faith early on. That is something that can happen. People are excited at first about the Word of God, about the Christian faith. And often they are very vocal about how religious they are. But trials and temptations very often reveal what is truly in a person's heart. Judas Iscariot is a perfect example who heard these very words that Jesus was saying. He heard these words from Jesus, and what did he do? He denied Christ before men. Jesus will not be his advocate on the last day. Jesus will not be the advocate of Judas Iscariot on the last day, because Judas Iscariot denied Christ before men his entire life. And in the end, the intentions of his heart were laid bare before the church and Holy Scripture, before every generation. We know what was in Judas's heart. He denied Christ in his heart. He denied Christ before men. And therefore, Jesus will not be his advocate on the last day. He will be his judge. And so it's a promise for us, friends. It is. It's a promise for Christians, but it's also a warning not to be tempted to do this. Do not deny Christ before men in any way. Do not do it. There is no blessing in that for Christians. There is no reward. There is no gain. There is no profit. No matter what you might think you're doing for yourself before other people, there is no profit in that as a Christian, to deny Christ in any way, no matter what the circumstances are. Now lastly, I want to emphasize the promise aspect. How do we know that Jesus will defend our case? How do we know that we have an advocate? How do we know that we won't be left alone? Now, if we're honest, friends, as Christians, we know that we have had, and we still do, have Peter moments, right? We are like the Apostle Peter. We get afraid. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of being hurt. We're afraid of being isolated, ostracized, left out, looked down upon. So what do? We deny Christ. We have those moments. We let our tongues slip so we can be included in the worldly talk that is around us. We do things we know we don't really want to do, but we do them to please the crowd. Those are the moments when we're like the Apostle Peter. We deny Christ before men. But Jesus reminds us here that even though that we deny him before men by our actions, by our lack of love for others, or because of fear of rejection, whatever it may be, Jesus says, do not fear. Do not be afraid of them. Jesus mediates for you. He is your advocate. He is able to continually mediate for us because a death has occurred. That is how we know that our advocate will never leave us. In order for there to be a mediator between God and man, a death must take place, and it has, once and for all, at the cross. Jesus interceded for us at the cross. He took our place. And now, based on his own death, he acknowledges us before his Father. How does Jesus acknowledge you before his Father in heaven? How are you accepted before God? How can this high priest, Jesus Christ, speak to his Father on your behalf and say, he belongs to me. He is one of mine. How can he do that? On what basis? His death. He points to his death. On the basis of his own death, you will never be separated from God's love. That is how he intercedes for you. If he is your advocate, by faith, he will never stop being your advocate because he died for you. You see that? The two are connected. His intercession and his death as a final sacrifice for your sins. So remember this, friends. You can never lose that. You may lose friends. You may lose family. You will never lose that. And to know that, to remember that, it helps us to confess that, to confess that we believe that, and that we belong to him. And so based on his own death, Jesus acknowledges us forever before his Father in heaven. So as we look to the cross, friends, let us always, through faith, acknowledge Christ before men, no matter what the circumstances may be. To Christ be all praise and glory, now and forevermore.